Are you confused about real food and what's healthy and good for the planet? Do you need the facts about local, organic, and sustainable food? Well, get ready to change the way you eat. Get ready for The Appropriate Omnivore with Aaron Zober.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Appropriate Omnivore. I'm your host, Aaron Zober, covering lifestyles in the world of real food. As Labor Day is this weekend, millions will be hosting barbecues and cooking lots of burgers. I've always loved a good burger. I still do, but now know the importance of sourcing real ingredients. Here to talk with me about burgers and share her take on how to make the perfect real burger is Corey Dunn of the blog For Nutrient's Sake and the podcast Modern Ancestral Mamas. Corey, welcome back.
Thank you, Aaron. Let's talk burgers.
Absolutely. Yes. Always a pleasure to have you here and always a pleasure to talk burgers. So two for two.
There we go.
All right. So let's start with what you think are the key ingredients to include in a burger to make it healthy and sustainable.
Okay, well, I think we have to establish, are we talking beef burgers? Probably.
Yes.
Okay, because I went to this restaurant one time in Washington, D.C. that had all these different burgers. It was a whole burger thing. And they had a turkey burger with an apple slaw, and then they had all these other ones. I remember the turkey one because that's the one I got. But they had all these different burgers made out of all different sorts of ground meat. But yeah, I'm a big fan of just a basic bacon cheeseburger, beef and cheddar and good bacon. A bun is negotiable to me. I like a bun, but I don't have to have it. Okay, but to make it healthy, I think a burger is a really healthy food, actually. I think that, like you said, can come down to ingredients. But yeah, if you can get a grass-fed burger with some raw cheddar cheese, a sourdough bun, some organic vegetables, that's money.
Yes, you're hitting all my favorites. I would also add organic fermented vegetables.
Yeah, if you want to throw some fermented pickles on there, that'd be awesome. But I do love lettuce and tomato.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And I'm not fermenting those.
No, you don't need to, I don't think.
Actually, a fermented tomato is good, but they're green. If you ferment green ones, then they have a good bite to them. Because if you fermented a red tomato, unless you're making salsa, it would kind of get smushy.
Yeah, you're thinking of the pickled tomatoes that you see at the delis.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, or there's something called chow chow that's a pickled green tomato, and it's got onions and some sort of spiciness to it. Those are really good. But classic burger, I'm going a pickle, lettuce, tomato, cheddar cheese, bacon, sourdough bun.
I've never tried a pickled tomato on that, but now you have me curious. Try to think, though, who still makes pickled tomatoes? That's the only thing.
Maybe a Jewish deli, you might be able to find one.
Well, we got a few of those in LA, so.
I know there's a company that used to make them where I used to live, but they went out of business, so I'm not sure.
Me either. And also, you touched upon what type of protein are we using for the patty. Well, this is the appropriate omnivore, so I think we know that it's going to be an animal protein. But yeah, you mentioned turkey. I mean, beef is the most common, and like you said, if you source grass-fed beef, then certainly that's healthy. I do also recommend, though, other types of protein, something such as buffalo or venison, lamb. I think all those are great as well.
Yeah, I love buffalo or bison. Those are great. But okay, so I think that from my standpoint, beef and probably buffalo and lamb actually are a couple of those proteins that are, yes, ideally you're getting it grass-fed, regenerative farming, pasture-raised, all those keywords. But it's also that those specific meats can be actually really healthy still, even if they're conventionally raised. It's not ideal for the animal and it's not ideal for the environment, but it is still a healthy meat for a human consumption. And that's all based on the work from Diana Rogers. So she's the one who's done the work to figure out if the health-wise for human consumption is still on par with conventionally raised beef, lamb, and bison or buffalo. And that's just ideally for the animal and for the environment, you would get the regenerative and the grass-fed and the blah, blah, blah. But I think it is important, especially in today's environment with the way that the economy is going, that we include more options for people. I don't know if you would agree with that or not, but that is where I stand on that one.
Yes, actually, I would agree with that. Peter Ballerstedt, he's talked about something similar. And it also reminds me of the documentary Fathead. I'm not sure if you've seen that. That's the one where comedian Tom Naughton goes and for 30 days eats nothing but fast food, but limits it to just the sandwiches. So just a little bread, very low on carbs. And with that, he actually still improves his health.
Yeah, I think I have seen that, but it was a long time ago. But it was a response to the supersize me thing, right?
Correct. Yes, very much a response, having some doubt of what was really said in Supersize Me, if it was truthful.
Right. Yeah, he's got a really interesting story.
He does. And I think he's given one of the best Wise Traditions keynote speeches.
Yeah, that one was a really good one. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's an interesting thing because he was eating just fast food burgers.
Right.
And when I was doing some research last summer on burgers and on just the standard American diet, I can't remember the exact statistic, but Americans eat an overwhelming amount of hamburgers. And if you go to a McDonald's, the ingredients in just the patty is beef and salt and pepper. Now, I don't know if they put some canola oil or something like that on the griddle before they cook it. Probably, that would be my guess.
Yeah, mine too.
But I mean, that's one of those things, like if you're out stuck somewhere and you have a McDonald's on every corner, not necessarily the worst option to just go grab a couple of beef patties from McDonald's.
That's a very good point too. So do you think then that more of the issue actually with fast food burgers is not so much in the beef patty itself, which as you explain, you have beef, you have salt, but in, well, one, there's then the oil it's cooked in, but then you get into what's in the bun, how much of that is actually wheat versus fillers and high fructose corn syrup and more seed oils, and then the sauces with fillers and high fructose corn syrup.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, I did a bunch of research on this last summer, and I have the numbers somewhere. If you wanted me to pull them up, I could. But the amount of ingredients in a bun was upwards of 20 something. And then same with the sauces and stuff. And they are exactly what you said. They're all completely conventionally grown. And when it comes to vegetables and wheat and stuff like that, there is more of an issue there with it not being organic than there is with the meat itself not being organic, because of what organic means in those different industries in growing plants versus raising animals. And there is more of a problem with the glyphosate on the wheat and on the vegetables than there is with the other things like the antibiotics and stuff in the beef.
I can see that too. And of course, these animals in the feedlots, I'm sure they are fed some corn, soy, wheat that was sprayed with lots of pesticides, but it comes then to more of the second degree of pesticides versus the wheat where it's sprayed right there.
Right. I mean, they have filtering systems just like we do. The animals do. They have livers. They are filtering that out more so than especially wheat, which is sprayed almost right before harvest to dry it out enough to be able to harvest it. You know, I was watching this show. I don't know if you've ever seen it. There's a show on that's from the UK. It's called Clarkson's Farm. And it's a Jeremy Clarkson, who's the guy from that car show, whatever that car show is called. And he's a very rich person. And he's in his retirement, essentially buying a farm and wants to farm all this land. And obviously the UK has different farming practices and standards than the US does. And while he's a conventional farmer and he's using glyphosate and stuff like that, he's not allowed to use it really to dry out his crop like farmers in the US do. So he has to time harvesting his wheat very specifically so that it is dry when they harvest it, mm-hmm. rather than spraying it to dry it and then harvesting it. And obviously it was harder in the UK because they have a lot more rain. But yeah, I think that being aware of the different growing practices, especially between raising animals and growing vegetables and stuff, it's a different ballgame.
We're talking a lot about what's bad in conventional burgers. So now let's get into the good ways to make it and the good things to include. What are some products that you'd recommend in terms of people using for burgers?
I think Primal Kitchens is a go-to, and that one is available pretty much anywhere in major grocery stores. And they have all the condiments that you would want. I don't know if they have a burger sauce, but you can easily make a burger sauce with some ketchup and some mayonnaise and relish and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I know Bubby's Pickles is probably the best pickles that are widely available.
Oh, love them. Yes. Yeah, they've been here on the show before.
It's an expensive pickle. And for my household, that's a problem only because my family will eat one jar of pickles in a sitting.
Yes.
I can't blame them. I love pickles. But yeah, that's a good option that's widely available. I know last time I was on your show last summer, we talked about buns and stuff. I haven't found a bun that I can just go to the store and buy. So I'm almost always making my own sourdough or freshly milled buns. But if you have time to order them, I think Organic Bread of Heaven makes probably the best orderable bun on the market that I know of. I'm sure there's other companies that are doing it too. And that's one of those things that if you can find a local bakery, that's probably your best option. But there aren't a lot that are doing sourdough or doing freshly milled, at least not where I live.
I can certainly understand. Yes, I'm fortunate that where I live in Los Angeles, there are a number of local bakers that use organic and sometimes even local wheat to make these wonderful hamburger buns. But yes, not everyone has that. And I would agree that Bread of Heaven is the best choice for those that don't have the local option. Bread of Heaven, they have organic sourdough buns, both hamburger and hot dog.
Yeah, there's another one called Berkshire Mountain Bakery that you can order from. They're in Massachusetts, and they also make really great buns and pizza dough, and they make breads. Stuff too that you can order from them. It's the same sort of idea where it comes as soon as they've made it, they ship it to you.
Yes. And you were talking earlier about Primal Kitchen, which is a company I love. And in fact, they just released a product earlier this year at Expo West. They have one called their special sauce. It even has a burger on the label of it. So
oh,
yes,
cool.
That is a great one. And depends what you like for your toppings on burgers. We'll get into that in a little bit. So Primal Kitchen, they have many options. Because if you want more the traditional, the ketchup, mustard, mayo, they have good options for all of those. If you like a little bit of an aioli, which is really just flavored mayo, or it's come to mean that that's not the original meaning of it, but typically that's what it is when a restaurant serves it. You have tons of great flavors with that.
Yeah.
You can go with their chipotle lime. That's my personal favorite. I like a little kick to my burger. Also have a garlic aioli. And pesto mayo. So yes, lots of great choices from Primal Kitchen. I would also say another one I would recommend with mayo is Chosen Foods has a good one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know that I've seen their mayo. I get their avocado oil.
Right. They're best known, yeah, for avocado oil, but they do have a mayo too.
Cool.
And they've released recently also different flavors of mayo. They have a great chipotle mayo, which got to take home from Expo West earlier this year and loved it.
Awesome. I love supporting those companies that are doing things like that because really, like you said, they're doing the right thing. I want them to grow. I will sometimes, if I'm at a store and I see something new like that, that is something that I really want the store to continue to carry, I literally will just buy everything that they have and be like, please keep stocking this.
Yes, same with me too. Also, if they have things such as limited edition products, like recently with the Boulder Canyons, they said that their dill pickle potato chips were a limited edition. I just kept buying tons of them because I was worried that they would eventually run out.
I haven't seen that flavor, but cool.
Yes. And I also said to them at Expo West that it should not be a limited edition. You need to make this year round.
I've seen, I don't know if it's just that my Instagram feed is now showing me this because I watched one video on it, but I've seen a couple of people making recipes for dill pickle salt.
Wow.
So you can make it and then just add it to whatever you wanted to add it to. Popcorn, chips, you could put it on a burger.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that sounds great. I'll have to look into that. Yes. As we're talking about all these different toppings, I know that you're in a family with four kids, so as a family of six, I imagine that there's a lot of differing opinions of what toppings go on the burgers. Let's talk about what the different ones are in your family.
Okay, so my husband likes a little bit more of the crazy stuff. So he likes like the barbecue sauce, and I don't know if he puts all these together, but some of the ones he likes is barbecue sauce. He likes the blue cheese. Sometimes he gets like a Korean barbecue style burger. He'll go hog wild on all the different flavors, different combos that are out there. I like a classic, just a bacon cheeseburger. One of my kids like tons of onions and mustard. One of my kids will lick the ketchup off of a burger and then maybe not eat the burger. Everybody has their own thing. I think for the most part, we're all, except for my husband, Ryan, we're all more towards the more classic flavors. And that might just be because I'm the one that cooks, and so I'm the one that is providing the toppings, and that's what I like. So, but yeah, even if we're out, that's mostly what they'll get. They'll mostly go the classic route.
There was the whole gourmet burger trend, say, 10, 15 years ago of burgers with all kinds of unique toppings. And I will say that in those times, I tried lots of different ones. I think that that's fizzled out a bit now, and I've certainly gone back more to the classic burgers, although at times I do like to make one out there, and there are two great burger cookbooks I love which have a lot of those. There's the one by The Ultimate Test Kitchen, and there's George Mott's cookbook.
Cool.
Both wonderful.
Cool. Yeah, I'm just, I don't know. I like a good cheddar cheese on a burger, bacon, and yeah, I don't know. I feel the same way with donuts. I feel the same way with donuts. Like, I just want a glazed donut. Like, don't want all the extra craziness. Milkshakes, they do that whole crazy milkshake thing now too. Stop. Just give me a chocolate milkshake with some whipped cream. I'm good. And that's maybe just my personality. I like classics.
Yes. And as you bring up the cheddar, that was a question actually I was looking to get into about the perfect cheese. I know some say it has to be American cheese. My opinion with that is, if you think that is, then you just don't want to take the time to melt the cheddar. Yeah, it takes a little longer. But if you really feel that it has to be American cheese, I'm glad that there is an option now. And I love that George Motz actually talked about this in his cookbook of recommending the Organic Valley American cheese, which is one that they had sent to me after coming on my program. And I'm kind of like, all right, I'll give this a try. And I have to say that they've actually found a way that an American cheese can taste good.
That's wild to me. I haven't seen this. We don't have that out here. I've never seen it. I've never tried it. But I have, again, seen some recipes for making American cheese that, like, I would be fine with having those ingredients in my house. Yeah, I don't know. American cheese is not my thing. It doesn't taste like much to me. Like, it doesn't have much flavor. I much prefer a sharp cheddar.
I still prefer that too, but for the people that want American cheese, I'm glad that there's an option that, one, I feel comfortable about how it's made, and I will say that I do like the taste of it. Interesting about ways you can make your own American cheese, and that brings us into another area, which I think is important to discuss, about making these ingredients from scratch versus, say, buying the sauces and condiments that you can get at the store. How much of the ingredients do you yourself make from scratch versus finding good products in supermarkets?
Depends on how ambitious I'm feeling on the day.
Me too.
I would love it if every single time we had a burger, I was making absolutely everything from scratch. I don't make cheese very often. We don't have a milk cow, so buying raw milk to then make cheese with is very expensive. And then it's just, you know, one more thing to add to the things I have to make. But I do prefer to make the buns, or we'll just go with a lettuce wrap. And then, yeah, the ferments is also one of those, if I have time to make it, I'll make it. But that's one of those things where that's a fun thing for me to make. And if I'm not feeling it, I'm not adding it to my list of things to make. So usually I'll buy pickles, or I do make sauerkraut. So if we're having sauerkraut with it, then I'll have homemade sauerkraut. But yeah, usually I'll make the bun and that's about it.
I'll usually buy pickles too, because at least where I am, there's a certain time where pickling cucumbers can grow. Right now is a time, and I certainly got my share at the farmer's market of pickling cucumbers and made my pickles. But the rest of the year, then I'll be buying them from great companies such as Bubby's.
Yeah, that's exactly it. During the summer is when you're supposed to be doing all that fermenting stuff. And honestly, the summers are really hectic for us because, you know, my kids have camp or we're traveling and it's not convenient. So I don't know. There are lots of cool people who do that kind of stuff. And I really respect that they do that. Right now in my season of life, it's not on my to-do list. Like I said, if it fits and it's fun, then I will do it. But I'm not adding that pressure to my already crazy kitchen to-do list. I actually think that there's so many things people get so hung up on. They're like, oh, I have to make the pickles and I have to make the, if I don't make it from scratch, if I'm not making it sourdough that's 74 hours or whatever fermented, then it's not good enough. And it's not good enough for my family and my family will suffer. And it's just kind of at the point, I'm at the point with food. I'm like, listen, it has to fit into your real life. If it doesn't fit into your real life, then it's not going to work.
Very important points to bring up, that you don't have to go crazy making it as natural as it can be. I think that's sometimes an issue with all this, is you always feel like you can do more. And I think sometimes it's okay to not go the full nine yards.
Yeah, I think so too. I think a lot of people probably could do more. But again, like, you don't have to. You really literally could buy every single element for a good burger and only have to make the patty.
Absolutely. You were talking a little earlier about how your husband likes the barbecue sauce. So since he's the one person in the family that likes it, I'm taking it that's one probably that you buy versus make from scratch.
I don't make any condiments. I just don't.
Yeah, it's one of the hardest things I've found to make, because I've certainly, when I got into all this in the beginning, attempted to make my own ketchup. That was tough. I've done barbecue sauce in the past, made a bone broth barbecue sauce, but that's very time intensive also. So
yeah,
I don't typically make mine. What barbecue sauce do you like to buy?
I buy a lot of stuff from Azure Standard. So if I can find one there that is either honey sweetened or date sweetened, because barbecue sauce pretty much needs to have some sort of sweetener in it. That's where the flavor is.
Right.
Not all of the flavor, but that is a key element of barbecue sauce, is that it has a sweetness. And I used to make it, yeah, like you said, when I first went transitioned over to being like real food based, mm-hmm. I made this barbecue sauce and I loved it. It was so good. And I used to can it. So I'd make it and put it in cans in the pantry. And I had written, it was my own recipe. I'd written it. It was sweetened with dates and oranges, and I lost the recipe.
Oh.
And I am still, like, I lost the recipe probably 6 years ago, and I'm still kicking myself. I don't know. It was so good too.
Yeah. Monica Ford, who's from Texas, and she has the business Real Food Devotee. She's been here on The Appropriate Omnivore. She has her recipe, which I know has also been published on The Holistic Squid. That was the one that I went by.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure I could recreate it, but I'm still a little heartsick. So it's too painful to recreate it at this point.
Yeah, I can understand that. And you mentioned that you can buy all of these different condiments and toppings and buns, but the one thing is making the patty yourself. So we now have lots of different ways that people like to make a burger patty. There's the smash burger, the thick patty, stuff in between. Do you yourself have a favorite way to make a burger patty?
Okay, so I'm from the East Coast. I grew up, you know, outside of Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Until maybe a couple years ago, I'd never had a smash burger because it's just not the style burger that we have on the East Coast. We have the thick ones, except at fast food place where it's just kind of measly.
Right.
But that's not a smash burger. So until a couple years ago, I'd never had a smash burger. And then I finally had one and I was like, this is life changing. This is the way to do it because it gets that caramelized crispiness. If you grill a burger, all of the juices are dripping out of it. But if you do a smashed burger, that it's still keeping all of the juices in there and there, and it gets that caramelized thing on it, and it's really thin. I'm a big fan of smash burgers now.
If I was having smash burgers before, I didn't know it. Perhaps they were serving some in California, but really the term, at least, I hadn't heard until a couple of years ago. So it's new to me as well. I like both. I've certainly seen great smash burgers. I think also because it's become so trendy now that there's lots of ones that I think smash it too thin and
yeah,
too much of that crispiness. But a smash burger can be great if done well. I guess I'm still like my burger thicker. I don't know if I want truly the thick pub patty. I guess I kind of like something in between personally.
So would you prefer it on a grill or would you prefer it on a skillet? Or a flat top?
I would say a flat top, yes. How about you?
Yeah, I definitely would prefer a flat top. I love if it's like a charcoal grill because that adds that charcoal flavor.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, most grills are not charcoal at this point.
Right. A propane grill, then yeah, you're not really. That's the thing is really if you want to grill, the only way really that's grilling is using charcoal. Other ways, that's not what it is. And it's just a way of basically sucking out all the fat in it.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you can do like a smoker type grill situation where you've got burning wood.
Right.
But I don't know. There's something really awesome about that flavor that comes from a charcoal grill.
Charcoal grill is a game changer, and that's a completely different way than, say, just cooking it over a propane grill or an electric grill.
Yeah. Can I say something that I want to make sure we touch on?
Sure.
Okay. Because you mentioned before that there's all these different kinds of proteins that we can do that are all animal-based. But I do want to say that I have a friend who is a vegetarian. She's been a vegetarian since she was 8 years old. And she came to my daughter's birthday party where we were doing burgers. And I was like, oh my gosh, freaking out. Because I was like, I can't serve this to her. She won't eat it. So I figured out a way to make a vegetarian burger that is real food based. And I will say it's not as nutrient dense as a beef burger, but I do think that if, you know, you wanted to do that kind of thing, there is a way to do it.
Yes, I have many friends that are vegetarians, and I think that this is an important topic to bring up. So let's hear what's in this veggie burger that you have.
Okay, so I think obviously if you wanted to, you could go to the store and buy a plant-based burger, but I would assume you would agree with me. Those are super sketch.
Absolutely.
And so that was not an option in my mind to buy for my friend because I love her too much to feed her a sad plant-based burger. So I made one that had quinoa and chickpeas and some vegetables, carrots and broccoli and cauliflower, I think was all pulsed up. And then because she also won't eat eggs. So I had to use a thickener that was from the chickpea can. The liquid that's in that is called aquafaba. And that works like an egg and some flax seeds. So that all holds it together. And then you saute it in a pan. You make little patties and saute it in a pan with, I used ghee to saute it. So I think that in the whole food, real food community, people get on high horses. Same thing with high horses about you got to use grass fed. And yes, ideally you would. Or you got to only eat meat. That's real meat. Agreed. That's the most nutrient dense form of protein. But we live in a world where people aren't doing things perfectly. And if we can meet them where they're at, I think that's a stronger position.
I think so too. I like what you include in your burger patty. And it reminds me of typically what I've recommended for a veggie burger as you include chickpeas in it. I've always said, because we're all about traditional foods, well, there is a great traditional veggie burger that people have been eating for long time, and that is the falafel burger.
Oh my gosh, I love falafel so much. Yeah, and that is what is a bulgur wheat and chickpeas and then parsley and a bunch of herbs and garlic probably.
Yes. And as we're talking about veggie patties, I want to also now get into veggies in burgers, because as we've talked about, lots of veggies you can include in burgers, the traditional lettuce, tomato, onion, pickles. And I wonder if this is something that you think about as a mother with all the burgers that veggies can contain. Do you think this is a great way actually to get kids to eat more vegetables?
No.
Okay.
I don't know that I think it's important, because kids will eat vegetables. I mean, my kids will eat vegetables. I think most kids will probably eat raw vegetables pretty easily. A lot of times where you get into trouble with vegetables is kids don't like cooked vegetables.
That is true.
Because the texture changes, you know, and it gets a little smushy. But I don't know. I think veggies are great. I'm more concerned about my kids eating beef. Like, I'd really rather focus on the beef. And especially if I'm getting like an ancestral blend, because I'd really rather them get the nutrients from that. I think vegetables are great. I'm going to eat them regardless. My oldest is my pickiest one, and he will eat lettuce and pickles on a burger. And so the pickles are fermented, so that adds really good probiotics and stuff like that. But lettuce, there's not really much to lettuce. So I would give or take that if he's going to eat it or not, I don't care.
True. In some ways, I think lettuce is actually an overrated vegetable, even though I eat a good amount of salads.
Yeah, I like it, but I don't know that there's tons of nutrients there that I'm really worried about getting in.
It also depends what kind of lettuce. I mean, personally, I don't like iceberg lettuce, and I like a more exciting lettuce on my burger. My favorite may actually be something like arugula.
I would agree. I love arugula on lettuce. Actually, I think that's probably my favorite dark green vegetable. It's probably arugula.
Yeah. I mean, I often don't even like full green lettuce. I love the red leaf lettuce, actually. I think more variety in it.
Yeah. Like you're saying, there's a million options when it comes to that. So I think that's actually something that people need to, especially parents, if you've got kids that are like, I don't want to eat this, try a different one. There's a million options.
You make a good point that it is more of the issue with cooked vegetables, because as a kid, I don't think really I had any issue eating lettuce or tomato, but it was the cooked vegetables. I certainly didn't eat much broccoli or cauliflower, Brussels sprouts as I was a kid. And I still don't know that I'd want those on a burger, even though I eat those now.
No, probably not. I probably wouldn't. I could eat them on the side.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe if it was a Brussels sprout slaw.
Yeah.
That could be good.
That would be different. I agree.
There's a restaurant where we live that makes fried Brussels sprouts, and then they put honey on them. And honestly, it's one of the most delicious things.
Oh, wow. Love it. And also, we were talking about different ferments you can include on your burgers. Are burgers a good way to introduce people to ferments?
Maybe. Yeah. I think that pickles are the easiest ferments to introduce people to.
They are. They're pretty much the gateway ferment, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And then I think if you want to branch out from there, I love sauerkraut. I think sauerkraut's delicious, but that's like a newer food for me to enjoy.
Me too.
I thought when I was a kid, it was gross. But I think when I was a kid, it was probably the canned version. So
pasteurized, right?
Yeah, that's a totally different ballgame. Like, it's not at all the same thing.
Yeah. Also, my parents didn't like sauerkraut, so I can't say I had a lot as a kid. But yeah, when you go to like a ball game and they serve the sauerkraut on the hot dog, yeah, I wasn't so into it. But yes, pickles. I explained that pickles were my introduction to real food altogether, because I was fortunate that I was eating real pickles as a kid, and that was the standard that I put them, the Don Herman's pickles. They were near Cleveland where I grew up, just a farm a little outside, and that was my first pickle I had. So I knew what a real pickle tasted like. And I traced that back then of my first lesson in real food.
Yeah, that's cool. I grew up near Rockville, Maryland. So that's a huge center of Orthodox Judaism. And they had all of these incredible delis. And they would just have those like giant barrels of pickles. Yes. And I remember going in there and be like, not even as tall as the barrel. And the pickles are ginormous. It's so great. Those are good pickles.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's definitely, I think, part of my Jewish culture that I was introduced to that. Because I believe even my aunt went to temple with some of the family members of Don Herman Pickles. So
cool.
We all knew about that. And yeah, just with my culture, that certainly. And then, yeah, going also to delis, going to Corky and Lenny's in Cleveland, and they had those big barrels of pickles at the table.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
100%. So we've talked a lot about the burgers, but as we all know, and I think you touched upon a little, with the burgers, you need the great sides, such as the fries, the soda pops, the shakes. So what ways have you found to make great versions of these yourself or products that you recommend that people can buy?
So the sodas, I like Olipop. I like Poppy. I think that they make decent knockoff versions of sodas. And there's a kombucha company that makes some soda versions too.
Is that Live Soda?
Yeah. That's the name of it.
Yes. Great company.
And then there's another one that's not kombucha, but it's from GT's. It's called Alive Ancient Mushroom Elixir. It's a raw fermented beverage, and they make a cola flavor and they make a root beer flavor that are actually really good. I was super weirded out when I first saw it, but it is a really delicious soda alternative. And then I like to make soda syrups. So I have a book called Making Soda at Home by Jeremy Butler, and it has all these syrup recipes in it. Some of them use some ingredients that I don't love, but most of them have real food ingredients. And so you can make a Dr. Pepper syrup or a cola syrup or root beer or ginger beer or something like that. And then, you know, you can add it to a water kefir or a kombucha to flavor those. And then there's obviously you can make your own ginger bugs or root beer bugs to then make a fermented version of those sodas. And if you've never had a fermented ginger beer, that is so good. Although I guess ginger beer is not a classic soda for a burger, but it's still so delicious. And then from other than that, like sidewise, yeah, I think that making French fries, you know, whether you're making sweet potato French fries or regular potato French fries, not difficult to make them. I don't think you have to fry them. I think frying is a pain in the butt, but if you wanted to fry them, you could. I just don't love doing it because it's messy, but baking them is great. That's usually what I do. I usually just bake them, or I make a smashed potato where you take like a new potato and you have to parboil it and then you smash it and cook it in the oven and then it gets really crispy. Those are good. Yeah. So I think that potatoes are a classic, but if you wanted to do something else, then do something else. I think we often will have, depends on, again, how lazy I'm feeling on that day, but often we'll just have a patty with cheese and probably a ferment on the side, like a pile of sauerkraut and maybe some raw carrots. That's going to be one of those really easy meals. But if you're trying to go fancier, then I think fries are great. I think that there's also some really great chips out there that you can buy that will hit that salty spot. So Jackson's Own are really great.
Yes, love them.
The Boulder ones. What are the other brands of?
Oh, let's see. Well, you got Siete.
Siete.
It's a great one. Good Health Natural Product.
Oh, I don't know that one. And Masa's good, but they're making corn chips.
Right. Well, that one's good too. Yeah. Because for me, a lot of times I just get the chips. I haven't made the fries. There's another new one called Roots Potato Chips. I'd recommend that one as well.
Cool.
Lots of good ones. I have a whole article on this. So
on chips.
If readers want to know more about, yes, about the best chips. And I mean, the other reason that I haven't often had the time to make fries myself, and for a long time, I've not been a fan of any of the frozen French fries on the market. Sometimes I would buy ones that were cooked in canola oil, but then I would fry them again in a coconut oil so they were a little better. But I'm pleased to see that there is now a frozen fries. And like you, I agree that you don't have to fry them. I only did to add some better oil. But there is Roots Farm Fresh makes a frozen French fries in a combination of olive and avocado oil, organic French fries that are also upcycled. Amazing product.
Huh. That's really cool. I've not heard of that. Yeah, I would love it if I could just go to the store and buy a bag of frozen French fries for a weeknight easiness. But yeah, I hadn't ever seen a brand that I was okay with. That's one of those ones that I think they greenwashed. There's a company that it's a white bag and it looks really clean and looks nice. And I wanted to be like, oh, cool. You know, I can just grab these because they make sweet potato ones. But that was one of those things where you look at the back of it and you're just like, ugh. You know, you read the ingredients labels and you just go, ugh, okay, not an option.
Yeah. Look for Roots Farm Fresh.
Yeah, cool. I will. I don't know that they'll have them out here because we're so rural, but you're lucky in California.
Yeah, right. Well, I think they'll be making their way slowly across. They're new altogether, but they were around before using a different oil and they've switched it to these new ingredients.
I really have hope. I really do, because I think that there's so many more companies coming onto the market that are recognizing that Americans are becoming wary of seed oils. And so I think that's a really good thing, obviously. And I'm hopeful that it continues to grow and that there are more and more companies doing that. I think that's awesome if there are companies that are swapping, mm-hmm. because that takes a lot for a company to do.
That's bold. Yes.
Yeah. And expensive too.
Right. Oh, yeah. Like I said, they're slowly making way across. They're in a few stores in California and I'm hoping that we see them more. And they're based in New York,
so cool.
That's a good chance too. They'll be available up and down the East Coast soon. And I like how you brought up about the prebiotic sodas. I'm a big fan of Poppy and Olipop. And then there's Live Soda, which they're both prebiotic and probiotic because they use the kombucha. I know also for a little while they've become hard to find, but they're now owned by Better Booch. And I'm seeing them in more stores again since Better Booch has taken over, which is nice. And there are a couple other ones. The company Health Egg, which makes kombucha, they make a prebiotic one, so it's not a kombucha, but they recently launched their Sunsip line. And I would also recommend Day Trip, who started as making CBG drinks. They ventured then into the prebiotic soda, originally with fruits, but they just released a root beer, a cream soda, and one they call Dr. Day Trip, kind of like Dr. Pepper. I like them also because this is one which is certified organic, which is a big thing. And there's also Crazy D's, which I think is mainly just available in Canada, but I want to throw it out. Hopefully they'll make it to the States. I know also I have some Canadian listeners and people that follow the blogs, so I want to mention that one. And I'm pleased with how the prebiotic soda's taken off.
Yeah.
When Poppy did an ad in the Super Bowl at the beginning of this year, that was such a watershed moment for me.
I was super excited about that. My son goes to this youth group thing once a week and he would come home from it and he'd be like, they gave us bags of chips and soda cans. And I was like, oh my gosh. I'm one of those moms where I'm going to be like, it's okay every once in a while, but it's not something I want you to be doing every week. So I started buying him Olipops or Poppies and bags of Lesser Evil popcorn because it's cooked with coconut oil. And I'm like, you can take these all you want. This I'm totally good with.
Right. So yeah, see, actually, there's a lot of great ones. We talked a lot about the prebiotic, but there's also just, I'd recommend even ones with cane sugar, which those have lots of great options for them. So there really are plenty of options. You don't have to go with the big names for soda pop. It's a problem. I think you have to limit it so much because I know certainly I've had an issue of having too many naturally products that essentially have natural sweeteners, cane sugar, and you still have to moderate what you consume of all of that, I think.
And like you said, there's a bunch that have actually decent pluses to them, where it's not just the flavor, but you're also getting the probiotics. And even if you're not, there was a bit of a controversy with Poppy that happened recently where they were like, this is not actually probiotic or it's not actually feeding your gut microbiome. And you kind of look at it and you're like, okay, but it's also not a Coca-Cola. You know, maybe it's not a health drink. I don't think anybody's drinking it thinking it's a health drink. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
It's a problem. I think you have to limit it so much because I know certainly I've had an issue of having too many natural products that essentially have natural sweeteners, cane sugar, and you still have to moderate what you consume of all of that, I think.
Sure. It's still a treat.
100%. And we've talked a lot about the sodas, but I know also another popular drink with burgers are shakes. Do you ever make your own shakes?
I make ice cream fairly frequently, and I don't know that we really make shakes with the ice cream. Not that we couldn't. Obviously, we could really easily. Yeah, mostly if we're having ice cream, it's usually just ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which of course makes a good dessert for burgers too.
Yeah.
Shakes are one of the hardest things I found to make. I tried making it once and need a little more practice with that. But yes, lots of ice creams. And do you typically make ice cream from scratch versus buying it in the stores?
Yeah, I usually make it. It's really simple to make. And we have our own chickens, so we have an abundance of eggs. So I'm always like, we need to figure out how to use these eggs. So we'll make a homemade ice cream. And honestly, my kids had ice cream last night after dinner. And it was like a Thursday night, like it wasn't a special anything, but I scooped it out into little bowls. And I was just thinking, you know what, when ice cream is this nutrient dense, yeah, have it every night. I don't care.
Nice.
This is actually a massively good thing for your body.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that.
Actually, when we're making ice cream too, with the milkshake question. So my ice cream maker doesn't make it super hard. I think most people's don't. It's usually right. A kind of soft serve sort of texture when you first make it. So that first little taste of ice cream is almost like a milkshake.
That's true. Yes. Unless go ahead then and freeze it afterwards. That
right.
You're right. You can just sort of make a milkshake that way.
Yeah.
We've been talking all about making burgers and fries and shakes at home. I know. Where I live, there are some places that have burgers with grass-fed beef and other sustainable ingredients. Are you fortunate to have any of that in your area?
Yeah, we do. We have a couple places that are really trying to embrace the local food cultures. So we have a couple of places that are using local beef. It's actually the same place that we buy our half cow from. And so they'll have their pork or beef or something like that from that farm that's right down the road from us. There's a couple, but then the majority, we live in a very tourist sort of area. So we live really close to a beach town. So most of the nicer restaurants are more touristy restaurants, like a come off the beach and just pop into this little place. Mm-hmm. So they're not necessarily doing that kind of stuff, but there are maybe one or two that are.
Well, that's good. Like we said, I think the focus here is that we're going in the right direction and we start with a couple and the hope is that we see more of these in the year to come.
Oh, completely. And I think it's really important to vote with our dollars. We know what we want to see in our communities. And if those places pop up, we have to support them.
100%. Yes. So we got lots to look forward to, just about out of time. But before we go, let the listeners know where they can go online, website, social media to see your blog and your podcast and anything else.
Okay. So our podcast, I host it with Christine Muldoon, and we have a really awesome lineup coming up this fall and winter. We are on wherever you're going to find podcasts, and the show is called The Modern Ancestral Mamas Podcast. You find that wherever you find podcasts. And we're working on getting it on YouTube too with a video option, but that hasn't happened yet. There's also a Instagram for Modern Ancestral Mamas that you can follow where we post, you know, our new episodes. And then my personal stuff is For Nutrients Sake as Instagram, and fornutrientssake.com is the website.
Excellent. Thank you for coming on the program and sharing your wealth of knowledge about the wonderful food that is the burger.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Aaron. The pleasure as always.
Pleasure too. That's all for this episode of The Appropriate Omnivore. New episodes of the show are released every Wednesday. Follow me on social media for more information on the next episode. And to make sure you never miss any of my podcasts, subscribe to The Appropriate Omnivore on your favorite podcast site or app. You can also listen to all my podcasts on my website, appropriateomnivore.com. There you can find recipes from the guests I interview, plus all of my articles covering lifestyles in the world of real food. Until next time, my pantry is officially closed.